You see, I'm the trouble. For the time. For the trouble. What is going on, everybody? It is 8-Bit Ray from the Gorilla Brain Podcast, your cruise director for this lovely little journey that we call podcasting. And I am coming to you live from Geek World All-Star Headquarters, located in the clouds above, owned by Lord Bezos and our Lord and Savior Elon Musk. Hardy har har, I still got the jokes. But I have a great show for you today. I have D-Square coming in here from Omega Level Nerds, and we're going to be talking the history and legacy of Marvel vs. Capcom. But before I get started, I'm going to need y'all to go onto your social media platforms, and I'm going to need you to follow me on Twitter at GorillaBrainPod. I'm going to need you to follow me on Instagram at GorillaBrainPodcast. You can also follow me on Twitch at 8BitRay. You can also follow me on TikTok at 8BitRay. So now that the promotional shilling is out of the way, let's get on with the show. All right, and we are back. And this week, man, we have Don from the Omega Level Nerds, Mr. D-Square himself, the voice of superhero speak. At least the commercials. Right. How you doing today, Don?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I live a half hour from Cedar Point, so we spent the weekend there. And so life is just good. Summertime's here. Loving it.
Yeah, how's it feeling out in Cleveland?
I mean, it's been great. I mean, we've had hot ones. We've been at 90 degrees already, but like today it's like 60. So it's like, okay, this is the day you mow all your lawns before it gets hot or rains.
Yeah. Paying for gas to mow your lawn. Like, I have a huge lawn and it's like, it takes me about an hour and a half to mow the lawn.
Oh boy.
So it requires some gas. So, you know, when gas prices as high as they are, I'm going to let that shit grow and grow until I can't take it no more.
It's good for the environment. Grass is actually a kind of a natural abomination.
Wait, get into that. Which grass are we talking about?
Just like your normal everyday grass.
Okay. I was going to say the other one. Good for
Oh, absolutely. Well, sir. Absolutely. No, I've got nothing to say against that.
But it is not that show. But instead, we are here talking about the legacy of Marvel versus Capcom. Now, me and Don here, we're going to go through and touch on each of the elements that combine into Marvel vs. Capcom. All right, so we have here 1992, X-Men Arcade is released through Konami. Of all people, like, what was Konami known for back in 1992?
Yeah, no, you're talking about Contra for the most part, you know, Life Force, all that shit, you know, yeah, Castlevania, like.
But no, like, side-scroll beat-em-ups. Which is really odd to me. Like, why would Marvel, maybe it was just a cheap contract or something, but why would they go with Konami of all people? Like, Capcom is sitting right over here. Midway wasn't a thing then. Like, I get that. So, you know, Mortal Kombat, you know, they're not out until what, 94? So they're out. So who you got? You got Konami and
Capcom just did Street Fighter, you know, 1 and 2.
And 18 versions of 2.
Yes, absolutely. Super Turbo.
Yeah, Super Turbo X Cross Machina. Yeah. So, you know, Capcom, they're keeping busy, but they're waiting in the wings, I suppose. But what is your first recollection of seeing X-Men Arcade? Like, what do you remember, like, where you were and what you were? Let me hear about that.
So, yeah, I remember exactly where and when I was when I saw X-Men Children of the Atom. Let me take you back to a time where the best video games were located in a little place, normally in a shopping mall or something like that, called an arcade. Now, today you see them. They've got skill games, maybe some pinball, some, you know, crane games. But back in those days, the best fighting games, the best games were in the arcade, and I used to go to one called Aladdin's Castle, located in the mall.
I remember Aladdin's Castle. We had one where I live, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Like every friend's birthday party was there. Your mom would give you $5. You could go and get a whole thing of coins and go. And so, yeah, I'm walking through there as you do when you get a chance to go, just looking, did they get a new machine? What's going on? And there it is. Now, by this time, I'm already a huge fan of Street Fighter, love Street Fighter, and I'm a huge X-Men fan. So here, this took me by complete surprise because this wasn't back in the day with the internet, blah, blah, blah. Literally the first time I ever heard of, thought of, seen, boom, right there it is. And you go up to it,
And this
and
is X-Men the
who's
Arcade?
X-Men Children of the Atom.
Oh,
Yep.
we're on Children of the Atom. Okay, I thought we were talking about X-Men the Arcade.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, same place. Same.
Lance Castle got it all, boys and girls.
Right. Yeah, the same place. And I remember hearing the X-Men, X-Men, X-Men. And you hear the music. And again, even though this is again, I'm 12 years old, I'm an X-Men fan, and you walk up and I see the Colossus is one of the six players that you can be. And I'm like, oh my God, yes, my favorite Colossus. Of course, Wolverine is there. I thought, okay, Dazzler's a weird choice, but no problem. And yeah, so again, you dump your $5 worth of quarters that you got that day to try and beat it. People would actually join you in the middle of the game. Imagine that.
Yeah, it was four player co-op. Man, you could get a bunch of people just on your side. It was great. And I can say this, man, is that it is one of the most beautiful arcade cabinets I've ever seen.
Oh my, yeah, on the side of it where you have the team there, just like reminiscent kind of what you see on the corner of a comic book with all their heads, but it included a little bit more detail than that. And it looked awesome. I mean, the joysticks were different colors, and it was the loudest thing you heard, and you're
Especially that
watching.
Colossus all
Yes,
argh!
yeah.
Every
Or which,
time.
as a Colossus fan, I was like, ah, okay, I don't get that. They had to give him special power, though. But yeah, absolutely. Because it was also at a bowling alley I used to go to, and we'd be bowling, and yeah, you hear it in the back.
Was anybody ever Cyclops or Storm? Be honest. Whenever you had people playing with you, they would either choose what, Wolverine? Dazzler had the best alt in the whole game. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it
So,
was either Wolverine, Dazzler, Nightcrawler, or again me, Colossus. But yeah,
yeah.
never Cyclops
Nobody was ever Cyclops.
or Storm, to be honest with you.
The only time Cyclops had relevancy before this was that shitty LJN Nintendo game that was just called was just
Oh,
X-Men.
it was just X-Men,
If
yeah,
you
where.
didn't use Iceman or Cyclops, you weren't even getting close to beating that game, as broken as it was. If you use Wolverine, you pop your claws out, it drains your life.
Yeah, yep, that
And then
Nintendo,
who else
yep.
was in that game? I forget. I haven't played in so long.
I mean, you face Sabretooth, Magneto was in that game. But with that Nintendo X-Men, where like you said, you have to be Cyclops or Iceman, the problem is if you gave the computer a range character, they did nothing. They might as well have just died. So like you
Exactly.
had to play the range character and give it a melee character.
Yeah, but it's LJN. I've done an entire episode on the LJN.
But you know what? As much vitriol as we can give LGN and they deserve, I will tell you that Nintendo cover was pretty much like my introduction to the X-Men.
Really?
For the most, I
Wow.
mean, not introduction, but I saw them in comic books. But and then, yeah, that was like I thought Colossus was a robot at that point when and then it took off from there. Yeah, the game sucked. Like I never, that I acknowledge that, but just the images. I mean, again, this was back before you could just any comic panel you want to see these days, you can just conjure it up and look at it. But again, that's back in the day where you had to have the comics or something or the cards, collect the cards after that.
Yeah, but let's see. X-Men the Arcade, based off of a pilot episode for X-Men the Animated Series, which was Pride of the X-Men. That's why they all look the way they do in the
Right.
game.
It's exact. Yep.
That's crazy, right? Just thinking about that, like a pilot episode, you're gonna put hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million, $2 million, into a game. with just a pilot episode. That's just, that's risky, but it's based off the X-Men. Comics sell, kids pop in quarters, they get them from their mommy and daddies, mm-hmm. and that's how we have X-Men the Arcade. Now, unfortunately, you really have to get a ROM for it to play it these days. It was re-released back in like 2013 through Xbox and PS3, but that is no longer available with the contracts with Marvel and Disney crumbling because, you know, mm-hmm. the mouse must make money. So they wanted to do everything in-house. So screw you, Mickey Mouse. Yeah. But with the success of X-Men the Arcade, which is what we're going to call the foundation of Marvel versus Capcom.
Sure.
Is we got in 1994, we got Children of the Atom. Now, you were going on and saying about how you remember when you saw Children of the Atom the first time. Now, when you saw that arcade cabinet, now it's not as big as X-Men the Arcade. It's a sleek mm-hmm. little, you know, normal size cabinet, right? So what were you thinking when you walked up and you saw a fighting game made by Capcom?
Because
they were done with Konami. They didn't have a very good feng shui. They didn't flow well together. So they said, okay, we're going to take this company here that has made one of the most successful fighting games in history to this day, Street Fighter mm-hmm. 2.
Yep.
And we're going to let them make our X-Men game, which was Children of the Atom.
Yeah, yeah. So like I said, I was a big Street Fighter fan and with everybody else.
Who wasn't?
Exactly. But, you know, here I was an X-Men fan. And honestly, when I saw the arcade, it wasn't like there was a bunch of kids like surrounding it, actually. They were all still at Street Fighter 2 and Mortal Kombat, shit like that. But so you walk up to it, though, because I didn't expect this at all. And I'm just looking at it and I'm in awe. Mm-hmm. It looked cool. The action, I mean, they all had special moves just like Street Fighter guys had. Of course, there was Wolverine and stuff like that. Oh, but they had Colossus, which, of course, I was a fan of. But then Sentinel. I remember being really impressed. Oh, my God, you could be a huge freaking Sentinel, you know.
Yeah.
Then they had the obscure. You know what? No, he wasn't an obscure character in the 90s. But Silver Samurai, mm-hmm. I was just remembering surprised him and Omega Red. I was just really blown away by the roster itself. And I was like, holy crap, this is awesome.
Omega Red he's pretty much a brand new character at this point. Like, I mean, Jim Lee's X-Men number 4 first appearance of Omega Red, mm-hmm. and that was what, 92?
So then it was 92. I just read the Mutant Genesis paperback where with that storyline. Yeah,
beautiful Jim Lee art, by the way.
Yeah. No one Chris Claremont writing, like, yes, couple, sir. You know, it's believe as an X-Men fan, that's the pinnacle of X-Men right there. Claremont Lee. Don't care what you say. Anyway, go on.
Like, even if the story was trash, which it wasn't, because it's Claremont.
No.
But, I mean, the art alone just speaks volumes. And Lee was only on for the first 12 issues. So, mm-hmm, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, you got other things to do. It's Marvel. It's a machine, blah, blah, blah. But he created Omega Red in his time there. And just the look of Omega Red is just...
Yeah.
It's stunning. I love it. I love his powers. I love the tentacles, the titanium, or not titanium, mm-hmm. but the skin, you know. It's Wolverine,
yeah, carbonadium.
Wolverine has a hard time with him. He's just such a great character,
but Wolverine's the only one that can really fight him because you just get in his vicinity and he starts sucking you away.
Yeah,
Wolverine's the only one with a healing factor. I mean, I guess Sabretooth, but I've never seen Sabretooth and Omega Red fight.
But they really did a good job with him on the animated series too, which, you know, 1992.
Agreed. Yeah,
so 1992, you get Omega Red. Right, X-Men, they revamped them and did all that, and then Omega Red appears, and then he's in X-Men the Animated Series, and which is fucking huge at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is huge. And, you know, you bring in characters from that people would recognize, like, oh
yep,
this character kicked the shit out of the X-Men, let's put him in the game.
Yeah,
it's great. And it's a weird choice, though, because you have so many, the X-Men rogues, man, are just so many.
Yeah.
But you picked Omega Red. Now, I'm just wondering if it's because of the popularity of the show, or if there was like a, I mean, I know there's a cult following for him now. Like I know he was in Deadpool 2 in a deleted scene, which they should have kept in.
Yeah.
That would have made me super duper happy. But, but I mean, it's just an odd cast of characters. But yeah, man, Children of the Atom, beautiful animations, dude. The mm-hmm. sprite work on Children of the Atom is, to this day, Like, if you can get a copy, like a hard copy, not a ROM, and you can get it maybe on the Sega Saturn. I think it looked best on Sega Saturn.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
It was ported better to Sega Saturn than it was to other consoles. But because Sega always had that I don't know. They adapted arcade games a lot better.
Right. They always did the arcade. The ports for them were always like super clean.
Yeah. And the cover. Similar. The cover, you know, so iconic, man. Children of the Atom. It's such a great cover. If you haven't ever seen it, Google it. Google all the covers for all the games that we're going to touch on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Children of the Atom. Who was the end boss? Magneto, right? Mr. Welcome to Die? He was the end boss for Children of the Atom, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because I'm thinking Apocalypse, but that's way down the list.
No, no, that's not. It's actually coming up next.
Okay. I'm all sorts of mixed up today.
Nah,
but yeah, man, big fan of fighting Street Fighter shit, paired with X-Men back then. Beautiful artwork. I mean, and just a great game in general. Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Yep. Children of the Atom, super successful game. They're like, okay, all right, Marvel and Capcom, this is a working relationship. Let's keep going. Okay, so we're gonna move on, not just from the X-Men, but we are gonna invoke the entire Marvel universe here. So 1995 rolls around, we get Marvel Superheroes. Personally, the first time I ever played it, I saw the arcade. It was in a hotel. I was on vacation in Ocean City, Maryland, staying at a hotel. It was a drab ass hotel called the Golden Sands. You know, if it's still there, sorry for the bad publicity, but it is what it is. Maybe you fixed it by now, but whatever. Anyway, but they had an ice cream shop and they had three arcade machines. One was the Terminator 2 shooter machine. The other was the Kiss, not Kiss, I wish, the Aerosmith shooting game. And then in the corner is Marvel Superheroes. I spent my entire vacation and a lot of money that I had, if you want to call it a lot, as a kid, like, you know, 50 bucks or whatever, that's a lot. So I saw it and I was down there every day, all day, perfecting it. And it introduced me to a couple of characters that I never even knew about. But let's see, Shuma-Gorath. You know, I always love Shuma-Gorath because of Marvel Superheroes. And yeah, so it introduced you to a bunch of characters that you didn't know. Thanos is the main villain, right? I mean, he's got the Infinity Gauntlet. You know, he's the main boss. Dr. Doom is the mini boss, if you want to call it a mini boss. He's fucking harder than Thanos. Like, that's crazy. But Thanos has the Infinity Gauntlet. Now, keep in mind, Infinity Gauntlet came out just a year prior.
Yeah. Right?
So that's like the biggest thing Marvel's ever done. So, of course, Mr. Thanos here is going to be in the game, wielding the Infinity Gauntlet. You can pick up Infinity Stones and kind of get like little power-ups in here. So they kind of mixed it up from Children of the Atom, adding things in and taking things out. The sprite work, Children of the Atom is like pinnacle, right? They put a lot of love and detail into that. They kind of scaled it down. Now, the reason that they scaled it down in 95 for Marvel Superheroes is because a bigger roster. Okay, now they didn't have the processor and things like that, because the bigger the roster, the more memory you're going to take up, the more processing it's going to take, and it's a kerfuffle, right?
Yeah, we're still dealing with megabits at this point. Yes. So, you know, yeah, we can only do so much.
Yeah.
You know, but isn't it kind of sad how, like, Marvel was obviously very savvy to adjoin itself with video games at this early on, and they did a great job of it. I mean, it introduced a lot of characters to a lot of people. But isn't it kind of sad that they just can't replicate? They can't do that no more somehow, some way. Just sad.
It really is. Well, I mean, Capcom is, you know, they're known for their fighting games. So why wouldn't you want the best? If you're going to license out Marvel, who, you know, is owned by the Devil Mouse right now.
Ho-ho, give me your money.
Yeah, give me your money.
Give me money, you prick. Ho-ho.
But, I mean, you would want the best, right? Well, if they can't work together, then it's not going to happen. Yeah. So, you know, Marvel Superheroes comes, and Marvel and Capcom still have a very, very good relationship. They're making money hand over fist. They're porting it to Sega Saturn, PlayStation at this point, because I own this on PlayStation. I remember getting...
Well, that's how I was introduced to it. I never was any place that had the arcade version. So I don't unfortunately have an arcade experience. And at this time, I will be honest with you, I think I was more of a Mortal Kombat person. I mean, obviously, I always loved Children of Atom because it was the X-Men. And as always, I was a fanboy. But just kind of to wrap my... I mean, I played it on PlayStation and it was great, but I didn't have the arcade. So that's how I was introduced to it, was, yeah, the PlayStation port.
Okay.
Yeah. How did that compare? I really never knew that.
The PlayStation one was... I think it wasn't even 30 frames per second. It was a little bit slower. Again, yeah. The Sega Saturn port was the superior port,
yeah,
of course. Harder to find and quite pricey these days, if you can find it at all. Best of luck and have your money ready. But yeah, man, just, it, you know, Infinity Gauntlet was huge. Like I said, Thanos is the main guy. It was just so great. I loved it. Like, there's no story. There's not, in any Marvel versus Capcom, any X-Men, Children of the Atom, there's no deep story. They didn't start doing deep storytelling in fighting games until, what, Mortal Kombat 9?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, man, that was Marvel Super Heroes. For me, it's a terrific game, great roster, looks great. The backgrounds in the PlayStation game were not that great. The Saturn, superb in every possible aspect. And people give the Saturn a lot of shit, but I am one of the few people in this world that will defend the Sega Saturn to the day I die. Because just because the American library was dog shit, which it was, the Japanese library, seriously, look it up, load it up. There's ROMs out there. I'm telling you, the library is incredible. But,
well, Sega is what killed the Saturn, because it released, and in America, it had about a year before they said, okay, we're coming out with a Dreamcast, and then, yeah, no developers.
Yeah, and they didn't even give a release date. It was just on shelves, like, here you go.
Yeah.
Give us your money. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Here it is, and then, yeah, a year later, we're going to replace it. You know.
Yeah. I remember the girl that worked at KB Toys said, we have a new Sega system, and I'm like, what, like a more of the tower, the transformer that I can
have?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
He's like, no, it's the Sega Saturn. I go, what? Like, it was still under code name, the last I had heard about it, Game Bro. Like, it wasn't even called the Saturn. It was something else. I can't remember what it was. Crazy. But then it was just, it's here. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but great system. It's my favorite controller ever. Love it. I like PlayStation controllers and whatnot, but man, the Saturn controller, it just felt so good in my hands. It still does. So yeah, but that's we're not here to talk about the Sega Saturn and how great it was. Maybe another episode. But let's move on. Marvel, so next in 1996, another year after, I mean, they kept just cranking these things out left and right, man. They were so easy to do. 2D models, sprite work, mm-hmm. You know, they had them from previous games. And in this one, you have X-Men, which is Children of the Atom, Marvel superheroes, right? And you already have the sprites from the previous games. So then we're going to add Street Fighter. Well, we just made Street Fighter Alpha, which is sold really well. Two and two together. We already have the work laid out. We have the music. We have everything that we need. So let's just put them in a game together. Fair enough, man.
Yeah.
X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Yes.
Superb. Probably, other than Marvel versus Capcom 2 and Children of the Atom, this is my favorite. So this is like my third.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely, because this is the one where they first do the crossover,
yeah,
where you can actually have more than one character and do the swap in between battles. So that was awesome.
Yeah, it was a
Cyber Akuma. Yeah. Had the tag Cyber Akuma. So yeah, this is one that again, not so much in the arcade, but definitely on the PlayStation port, me and my friends many a night, yeah, just destroying each other in this game. It was so fun.
The tag aspect, it would influence a bunch of different fighting games, but mm-hmm. Like, you know, Tekken Tag was, you know, huge because of the tag system. that was implemented because of this game.
Yep.
So, well, actually, not technically because of this game.
Right.
You know, fun little Easter egg. We wouldn't have had the tag, the two, you know, characters on the screen fighting at the same time without Street Fighter Alpha. So, or it was a Street Fighter Alpha 3. I can't remember. But it's like a dramatic sequence where it's like two, it's Ryu and Ken versus Bison. And because of that, they took that and said, wouldn't it be cool if we had more than two characters on the screen? And everybody at Capcom's like, yeah, that'd be great. Let's do that. Right. And that's what they did. And that's how the tag system was born. It was an Easter egg. It was a joke. Like, it was just part of a game. And then they're like, let's make a whole game based around it. That way people can now strategize. They can, you know, mix match characters, like endless possibilities. And we'll get further into that when we get the Marvel versus Capcom, because that's forever impossibilities. But man, X-Men versus Street Fighter is the foundation of tag gaming, trio gaming. Like, it's so good. And it's smooth. And man, you got to play as Sabretooth. You know, you could have Sabretooth versus Chun-Li. Come on.
Yeah.
Man, and Sabretooth, man, he's always been one of my favorites. And to actually get to play as Sabretooth, man, take my money, take all my quarters, man.
Oh, and Apocalypse was the end guy in this one?
Yeah.
Or was, okay. And then, so Onslaught's later. Okay.
Onslaught.
So, yeah. And I love Apocalypse, obviously. So, yeah, that was another.
He looks so good.
Yeah. Straight out of the 90s animated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apocalypse.
But they got the colors right. Like, they got the size. It just looks so good. Like, how it's not supposed to look that good. He hasn't looked that good in a video game since. Okay.
Yeah.
X-Men Legends. Yeah. No. Well, I'm not talking about that. But, I mean, Apocalypse is one of my favorite characters ever, period. Right. I have his first appearance, three different copies. When I see them in the wild, I grab them because I love the character. I was like, this book needs a home. So I grab it. I do it with a couple of characters. I do it with like Sinister. I do it with, so many B villains. It's crazy. I'm pathetic, but, that's X-Men versus Street Fighter, man. And the last time I played it on a cabinet was probably about 2008. I found it. It was a random machine at a movie theater. I'm like, I'm playing this. They had that, and they had the original Soul Calibur machine. And I said, decisions.
Yeah.
I chose X-Men versus Street Fighter.
You just don't get that nowadays, man. They just go to like a random something and then like, oh, shit, there's a, you know.
A new machine. Awesome. Yeah. Like you would hear about them. Like, they would do little ads. I mean, they were never like full page spreads and like GamePro, like a little box going, oh, Marvel versus Capcom, you know, coming soon. And then you'd walk into an arcade one day or a sub shop or wherever you're going. And then, boom, it's there.
Yeah.
They're just like, when did this come out? Oh, it's been here for about a month. Really? Damn you, Aladdin's Castle.
Yeah.
But yeah, the real of that is all gone. It's sad, but you know, in a modern digital age, you know everything about a game before it even comes out. And it kind of takes away from it, you know? So seeing the excitement when I saw X-Men vs. Street Fighter for the first time, I'm like, oh my God, two of my favorite things ever in one game. Yep, and it's a fighting game. So great. And then Apocalypse is in it. I'm just like, take my money, all of it, every single damn dime I got, you take it, you bastards at Capcom. And and then it left arcades. And then, you know, we got the inevitable 1 year later. Of course, we're sticking to the trend here. We got, like I said, we have all the sprite work, we have everything that we need. Let's just throw out another game. It's gonna make money, you know, a little updated roster. You know what I mean? So we have Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter. Not much of a switcheroo. They just added a couple of characters and the couple of levels. It wasn't anything too like mind-blowing, like, oh my God, look at this roster. But it was a great game overall. And there's not too much to say about Marvel Superheroes. Like I said, it's an updated X-Men versus Street Fighter with the Marvel Superheroes guys. So, you know, it's not too much to say.
No, there's really not, because I'll be honest, we pretty much stuck with the X-Men versus Street Fighter. I just kind of remember just kind of, you know, it's cool, but stuck with that. So I'm with you on that one. This is not much to say on my end on this.
Not really, no. And then we get to, you know, Marvel versus Capcom, Clash of Heroes. 1 year later, of course. Thank you, Capcom. Yeah. This game, I think this game changed the game for games. You know, Street Fighter had set a standard. This thing went above and beyond because it had a great roster, great to the end boss. Fuck you, Onslaught, you quarter-eaten son of a bitch.
Dream is dead. I used to
fucking Onslaught. Marvel was trying to push Onslaught so bad back then.
Big time.
Oh, he was awful. He was awful in the comics. He's awful in this game. I just hate him overall. I think I hate him more in the comics because of this game. He's a shit character. He's cheap.
Yeah.
Unbeatable. Yeah. He's a quarter eater. Nobody ever gets it when I say that. He's a quarter eater. But I mean, you know, Clash of Superheroes, man, you got Mega Man in this game. They added the assist ability in this one.
Yep.
So you got your two characters, but you got an assist. Cool characters that would later become prominent in Marvel vs. Capcom, like Thor was a run-in assist. Who else was an assist? Longshot, I think, was even one of my favorite characters. Didn't know if you knew that. But yeah, Longshot. I love Mojo. So Longshot. Yeah. But yeah, man, there were so many like Easter eggs in this game. I absolutely love this game. And it was re-released. They did later down the line. We'll get to it. We'll touch on it at the very end. But they did re-release it. Didn't do anything different. Didn't remaster it or anything. But we'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
But man, like seeing this arcade cabinet in Aladdin's Castle, because was the closest arcade. I think they might have all had the same arcades. You know, we're agreeing like, yeah, saw Aladdin's Castle. I think they just bought like 500 machines and put them in each.
Yeah, sure. No, that makes sense as a business model. I mean, obviously it was a chain of arcades. So yeah, that's how you're going to do it. You're going to, you spend more money doing two customized, and they know it's going to make money. I mean, at this point it's a premier fighting game. So, you know, that Tekken and whatever Mortal Kombat was out at the time. If you had a arcade, you had to have that. Oh, and Killer Instinct back then too.
Yeah.
It's a difference.
But the arcade port for Killer Instinct is far superior than Super Nintendo and even the N64. I said it.
Well, that's because Nintendo and Rare back then were one and the same, basically.
Yeah, but the Killer Instinct machine back then had like a mini computer in the damn thing. Like, it had a lot of power behind it. And that's why it looked so good in the arcade. And then when it came home, it was just like... But I still love to play it. I'm not going to lie. But that's another episode as well. Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
Why have we waited almost 10 years for new content, Killer Instinct? Get on your shit, Rare. 10 years? Okay. Rant over. So we have Clash of Superheroes, and this is the new bar, right? And Capcom's like, okay, this game was so successful. The home ports were super successful. And we have to up the game. How do we up the game, guys? This is like a little town meeting they're having at Capcom or whatever. How do we up the game, guys? And then, you know, little Larry in the back, you know, he raises his hand up and he goes, hey, what if we up the roster?
Yeah.
And then Bob over in design goes, how do we up the roster? He goes, we had 56 fucking characters. That's how we do it, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So many characters that we've got two Wolverines.
Yeah, like two Wolverines, War Machine, Iron Man. It's the same character for the most part, except the
Ultimate. And Sabretooth.
Yeah. I mean,
why are you Ken Akuma?
So they're like, okay, so this is going to be Marvel versus Capcom 2, probably one of the most beloved fighting games of all time. Still competitively played to this day.
Absolutely.
And it's incredible. No longer at Evo, though. That's a copyright thing. That is not their decision. That's bullshit. But Justin Wong has been petitioning to get that back in Evo for, I don't even know, almost 8 years now. So let's get it back, guys. I want to see more competitive Marvel vs. Capcom 2. But all right, so here's what we got, guys. Okay, so what are we going to do about the story? Who cares about the story? We don't need a story. What are we going to do about a villain? well, Onslaught sure as fuck didn't work, did it, Bob? No. Can we bring back Apocalypse? No. What about Dr. Doom? No, we're going to put him in the game. Holy shit. What about Thanos? No, we're going to put him in the game.
Game, yeah.
Magneto, in the game. All end bosses are now in the game except Apocalypse. Fuck you, Bob. But, so, yeah. I mean, they really upped the game. The roster, huge. Like I said, story.
So huge, they made up a character to put in the game.
They made up a couple.
Ruby Heart, you know, is like one of the main characters of the game.
Yes.
The 3 milliseconds of story that there is involves her, but yeah. Huge roster, just huge.
I think they never said it. Amingo is another created character. I'm not sure if he was like a Darkstalkers reject. Not 100% on that.
Yeah, I don't know.
He looks like he would be. Like he was like they created a whole bunch of characters for Darkstalkers and they're like, you want to put him in Darkstalkers? Not really. Who the fuck wants to play as a goddamn
cactus?
Yeah, who wants to play as a cactus that, you know, that has a sombrero?
Yeah, it was sombreros with his maracas.
Yeah, we'll just keep him on the back burner just in case Marvel wants a new character. So we had Ruby Heart, but they brought back a bunch of characters, man. Like it would take me an entire episode just to go through the entire roster. 56 characters. Okay, now so Marvel versus Capcom, they, like I said, they took a year off for good reason. They were working on entirely new hardware. Now we're not gonna do tech breakdown here. But they are running on the brand new Naomi hard drive. Okay. This thing is pushing out power like crazy. They could have done so much more and crammed a lot more in there without having to sacrifice sprite effects and things like that. Like animations, like Children of the Atom, if you, like I said, that's the standard for animation in a fighting game for Capcom. The sprite work was so detailed, shadows on the characters and things like that.
Yeah.
But when you cram 56 characters into a game, you're gonna lose some of that. You have to take some shit out, unfortunately. So it kind of lacks in that aspect, but the combat aspect was ramped up. Air combos are now a thing. Juggle combos are now a thing. Like they really went balls to the wall for New Age of Heroes in 2000.
And I know Marvel vs. Capcom 1 had like big beams and shit like that, like that was nothing new, but I don't know, this seemed to amp that up.
Yeah,
like especially with like Cyclops and just huge beams, and again, nothing new to the franchise, but just super ridiculous in this one.
But this one you could do three, you had three characters, it's 3-on-3 combat, so they've upped that now.
Right,
you can do all three finishers at the exact same time.
Yep.
Your screen is gonna flash and give you fucking epilepsy.
Yeah, and not only that, you can pick which one of the finishers they do when you do bring the assist in before each game. So each character has 3 different assist types.
Yeah, they were really just amping this up. Like before, in Clash of Heroes, you could pick your assist or the character that was your assist. Or no, it was random. It was random. You didn't even get to pick. That's fucked up. But yeah, it was random. So... But this one, the combat has been ramped up. It's crazy now. There's strategy now. Before, in a fighting game, when you would play Street Fighter, what would you do as E Honda? You'd spam the goddamn hand.
Yeah.
Right? You're Chun-Li, you're spamming the kick. You're Ryu, you're spamming the fireball. This game requires strategy now. You need a team that is not just powerful, but it has to have a concurrent theme. Like they have to flow together, and you would spend countless hours just trying to find your team, trying to find that flow. Like, you know, his assist, you know, it helps me here. You know, Captain Commando comes down with a big beam here. I jump in here. Crazy amounts of time putting in. I think I'm still picking a team. It's 22 years later. I'm still trying to pick a team. It's crazy.
Oh, no, I could tell you mine straight up is I'm going to go with Akuma, Sentinel, and Colossus.
Oh, wow.
Or if I really want to be scary, I'll just do Colossus, Sentinel, and Juggernaut. We haven't even talked about Juggernaut. He was all the way in Children of the Atom, which was fucking cool. That blew me away. And, of course, he returns in Marvel vs. Capcom 2. And yeah, you want to talk about an assist that'll just fuck somebody's
world
up.
He's the whole screen.
And when he comes in and does his charge shit, like, he's doing 3/4 of your health. It's crazy. Half 3/4, depending on who you are.
And he had the other he had the other ult too, where it was like he would charge up and become invincible. You couldn't knock him off.
Oh yeah, you couldn't stop him. Yeah, I mean, exactly.
So if you did that, and then you switched out characters, he stayed in that red mode. It was a glitch in the game. I'm like, this is fucked up. So, like,
but that speaks to the strategy that you could do something like that. Like Colossus, like, he literally has a special move that just armors him up.
Yeah,
without so much. Yeah.
Yep.
But what was even better. What was really cool about this, though, is obviously it had all my favorite X-Men, all my favorite superheroes. Like, it was awesome. It had all my favorite Street Fighters. That was great. But then we got, like, all this other shit from Capcom, like Captain Commando, Strider. I can't remember. Strider was in this game. That was Strider fucking Haru, awesome. Yeah, Strider. Hayato, that guy with the big fucking mech. I don't even know where he's from. He may be
Jin.
Jin, there you go. Hayato he's from the Star Blade game from Dreamcast. That's right, with the lightsaber. But he had a lightsaber, so I roll with Hayato sometimes. So fuck. This is just such a fun game. And my memories of this, I to this day, one of my most prized possessions is I have a PlayStation 3 where I downloaded Marvel vs. Capcom 2 onto it before they took it off the PlayStation store. And me and my best friend of many years come over and we fight each other. I've put it on my YouTube channel, all that shit. But I used to work at Funko Land, became GameStop. And I literally, like I said, Aladdin's Castle had the Marvel vs. Capcom 2 cabinet. So I did get the arcade experience with this. But I can remember just working at Funko Land. We had a Dreamcast on a TV that was right on the counter. And I would just play the fuck out of this game because you used to have to earn the characters. You know, it didn't come with all the characters, or it didn't come, boom, 56. You had to, like, earn them. So I grind for that. It wasn't like
the kids these days are just so used to DLC. Oh, I'll buy the battle pass or the season pass, and I'll get all my characters. Back then, you had to grind your ass off playing what's his face at the very end. I forget his stupid name.
Abyss.
You had to play him like 800 times.
Yeah,
it was annoying, but it was fun because you got to, you know, like I said, you get to try and find your team by playing AI, or if you had a friend, you know, you could do it like that.
Cable is always pretty much a staple when trying to earn points and playing through with the computer, because he's just a cheap character. You know, he just had the big, you know, blade beam that went across, and you just hit high punch and he's
but that's the thing about Cable in this game, though. He's a very stationary character. He's not very mobile. You get him in the air,
he's not garbage. yeah he's all about throwing his grenade or doing his trident move to keep you back, and then when you're back, he's trying to throw artillery at you, which the computer falls for, or Abyss particularly, because Abyss just comes out, his first form is just slow.
Yeah,
so all you got to do is dodge this big charge attack of his, where he just shoots this big beam out of his stomach. The second form requires a little bit more finesse, so I would just use all my charges on him. And then, the third form is just this huge fucking lava monster with, like, a ball inside of it. That was a hard end boss. Yeah, you really, I always saved. I built teams like that where they're cheap, could build up energy quick, so I could just unload on him.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm getting beat.
So I had Omega level nerd. That's Don's pa show. So
hey.
Free plug. No, I had Omega Red, Rogue, and M. Bison. That was usually my go-to team, because it was really cool how Bison is great for up close and personal. Rogue has that running punch in. She was great for assist and also good in the fight. You know, but that would be the last team that I actually decided on. Maybe 10 years ago when they re-released it. Which, by the way, Don, I don't know if you know, but I think you can download it again. I think it's back up. So if you bought it back in the day, I do believe you can re-download it now, but I think you have to do it on like the 360 or PS3. So
yeah,
load up the PS5 and be like, well, let me go get my shit back.
Right. Yeah. But, no, I got a PS3 with it on it that I'll bust out with two controllers for me and my buddy.
So that was, you know, the home release, right? And that was on, Dreamcast, which converted it the best. Of course, Sega doing arcade ports the best way they possibly can, the best in the world. And it was running on the Naomi. So it flowed so well because that's why Sega had an easy time porting it, because they had familiarity with the software. PlayStation, when it came out on PS2, struggled its ass off.
Yeah.
It would lose frames. The game would black out, conk out, freeze up. It was bad. And then you had it on Xbox as well. And now how they promoted this, I don't know if you know this, Don, they promoted that fucking game with online capability because Xbox Live was going to be a, you know, the next big thing.
Oh no, I did not remember that at all.
Yeah, it was in an article of EGM, and they're like, yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom will have online capabilities. And I was just like losing my mind. Like, I have an Xbox. I have Marvel vs. Capcom on my Xbox. Oh my God, I'll be able to play online and kick everybody's ass worldwide. Wrong. So they launched it. They pulled it like about 3 weeks before launch. They pulled the software right out. They didn't want the online feature. I don't know why. I don't know if their servers couldn't handle it or what, but they took it out, and that sucks. They should have just kept up with it. I mean, you can always debug a server, man. You can up your servers and things like that.
Yeah. So
I don't know why they didn't keep it. I mean, that would have been point right there.
Absolutely. That would have been fun as hell, because on the PlayStation 3 version I have, you can still get matches online. And, you know, that ranges from hell to horror, you know. Really.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you're going to play somebody in Vietnam. Yeah, trust me.
The Tekken
servers, I went through that the other night. Yeah, I know exactly where you're coming from, brother.
Yeah. But nonetheless, it's still cool that you can do it.
Yeah. And yeah. But let's see. So they were going hiatus. You know, they wouldn't put out another game a year later, unfortunately. So we'd have to wait about 11 years before we would get Marvel versus Capcom 3, Fate of Two Worlds. I don't like the name.
Yeah, it was stupid.
But, you know, we got it. The license for Marvel and Capcom, it was still there. They could have made games every year if they really wanted to. But Capcom was busy trying to revamp Street Fighter. And, you know, the fighting game, I don't know if anybody follows fighting games like that. I mean, if you don't, why the fuck are you listening to this episode? If you made it this far, then you understand. The fighting game market in the early 2000s was pretty much dead. Like, Mortal Kombat struggled. Hell, man, even SNK, I think they were the only one carrying the torch with King of Fighters. But nobody was consecutively releasing games like that. Even Street Fighter was like, after Street Fighter 3, they were like, nah. Well, you know,
It was Tekken there for a little bit. It was probably the best you had was Tekken.
But those were years in between. Those weren't like every year, like Capcom would just crank these things out.
Exactly.
Tekken was about every 3 years. I think you would get a new Tekken. But yeah, the fighting game market was in a serious crisis. Then along comes Street Fighter 4. So, you know, we got Marvel vs. Capcom Fate of Two Worlds. It was bad. It was whatever. It's fine. It wasn't until they released Ultimate Mortal Kombat. Damn! Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, in which I was like, okay, now this is a serious game. Okay? So they added a bunch of characters in, and those characters, it's kind of funny, dude. It's like Marvel had their hand on the pulse, right? Like, okay, so we're going to put in this unknown character, X-23. This unpopular character, Doctor Strange. We're going to put in Hawkeye. Like, they had their finger on the pulse. They knew what they were doing. They knew they were going to do a Logan movie. They knew these things. So, okay, here's Iron Fist. We're going to put Iron Fist in here. Is this crazy? But, I mean, that's pretty much all they did, was just adding characters and rebalanced everything. Super-de-duper. Great game. Love the online play. But yeah, man, that's Ultimate Marvel. There was no arcade port. It's just all home release now.
Yeah.
Like, arcades are dead at this point.
I'll tell you, with Marvel vs. Capcom 3, I actually played the hell out of it online. I actually became what I would consider pretty competent. But at the end of the day, I just couldn't keep it as my game, because this was released at the time where Disney had Marvel, but not the Fox X-Men. So they were trying to kill the X-Men in the comics. So we had Marvel versus Capcom with no X-Men.
Yeah.
And that was the death knell. I mean, again, I played the game.
You had Wolverine and Storm and Sentinel and a couple other people. They were in there.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't have everyone that I should have. We went from 56.
Yeah.
Down to that roster, which didn't, we had Zero, but we didn't have Mega Man. Yeah. I was upset at that.
Yeah.
Too many Devil May Cry characters. Okay, give me Dante. I get it.
Yeah. Trish,
but we
Virgil,
didn't need Trish, yeah. Virgil. We didn't need that.
Yeah.
So it just didn't last long to me. That's why the apex, the pinnacle was always Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for me.
Yep.
Because of how many characters it had. And it had a lot more X-Men characters because, again, they weren't trying to die here. And I played the demo for, what was it, Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 2017. So the license after Marvel vs. Capcom 3 ended, Disney wanted to do all their games in-house, and Capcom was like, okay, well, whatever. And then Disney decided, yeah, that was a big mistake. Hey, guys, you guys want to come back and maybe do another Marvel vs. Capcom for us? Sure, buddy. We like a good check. Yeah. Okay. So, and then Infinite came out, and it was a huge pile of garbage. Awful roster. I did like Ultron Sigma. I thought that was great. I will give it that, but
yeah, that is cool. No, as a big Mega Man X fan, I speed run the game. I think that was cool.
Yeah, but we're back to, you know, just basic Mortal Kombat issue. It was one-on-one combat with run-ins, like, as assist, but that was it. You didn't get to fight as the other characters. Three-on-three combat is dead. Hell, even two-on-two combat is dead.
Yeah, which is crazy. I mean, that's the fun of Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah, man, the craziness of it all, the speed. Like, you know, Ultimate Marvel, it had the speed and the flash, but man, it was a lot of flash. It wasn't. I don't know. It didn't take as much strategy in Ultimate Marvel because it was all about juggle combos and getting those infinite combos off. Whereas, you know, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is just straight up strategy. You know, you need somebody to keep you at a distance. You need somebody good at close up, mid range. You need to really mix it up here. And
you have somebody on assist that you knew would come in. If I'm getting juggled or if I'm getting air comboed, then boom, I bring in Juggernaut to sweep the field. Like, yeah.
But this game really lacked adding DLC, paid DLC for Black Panther, Winter Soldier, and Venom. And it just seemed cruel to me because when you get Marvel vs. Capcom, they're not all unlocked at the jump of the game, but you can unlock them. Why can't games go back to that? It's just awful. But Marvel vs. Capcom Origins, that's the in 2012 they re-released. So essentially it was Clash of Superheroes updated. That's about it. There was nothing changed about it at all. And that's pretty much everything leading up to the greatest fighting game of our time, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 New Age of Heroes, and a little bonus sprinkle in of Fate of Two Worlds.
Yeah, some of the crappier stuff after that.
I still own it. I own it digitally. It's still just as bad, but I'm a sucker. Marvel owns me. Man.
As it does us all.
That's going to wrap it up this week. Don, I thank you so much for coming on, brother. You're my first guest in a long time, brother. I don't really do guests. Normally, this is a one-man show, but I needed somebody because this is too massive. This is too massive for just one person, man. One person, it's too much. So I want to thank you again for coming on. And the floor is yours, sir. Promote your ass off.
Well, there's not much there. Of course, I'm a host of the Omega Level Nerds, which we're on YouTube and Podbean and Apple Podcast app, whenever that starts to work correctly, working on that. But just go on YouTube and search us out, OmegaLevelNerds.com, at Omega Level Nerds on Twitter. Follow us there and get our link there if you need so. I'm sure we're going to be, once Obi-Wan wraps up, I'm sure we'll be doing a show, which I hope Ray will join me there. So I'll ask him when the time comes, because the show is fucking awesome, and we're going to talk about it. But yeah, Omega Level Nerds at Omega Level Nerds on Twitter.
All right, Don. Thank you so much, my man. So, yeah, definitely go check out Omega Love Nerds. I've been on there. I love the show. I love Don. And I love every single one of you for showing up and hearing two super nerds talk about Marvel versus games, from X-Men Arcade to Ultimate Marvel Fart. So, yeah. So that's going to wrap it up this week. Next week, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I will let you know on the Twitter machine. You can catch me at Gorilla Brain Pod. On Instagram, you can catch me at Gorilla Brain Podcast. Catch me on Twitch Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where I will be playing God knows what. Let you know on the Twitter. And yeah, man, that's going to wrap it up this week. I just want to thank everybody for listening and still hanging in there, even though I haven't put out a goddamn thing in 7 months, guys. This is the comeback tour. I'm excited. So I will catch you all next week.